We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
When it comes to representation on our feed and through our campaigns is all inclusive of gender and race and body size and ability, and really just ensuring that there's full representation and that everyone is welcome in this brand. Regardless of who you are, what you believe in, there's a space for you here.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. For today's episode, I'm going to step back and hand the microphone to my good friend and colleague, Chris Stewart. Chris, take it away.
Today's guest defines his mission as to challenge boundaries with humanity. That lofty calling is behind the Fluid Project, a gender-free fashion brand that works to foster community and acceptance. We'll speak with founder and CEO Rob Smith about why he built the Fluid Project, its purpose-driven evolution, and what the future holds for the brand. First, I'd like to introduce my co-host and my colleague, Susan Retta. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Chris. Good to be here.
Glad you can be here. Rob is also going to be speaking at NRF Retail Converge, our new virtual online event in June. So we're super excited to talk to him today. Welcome, Rob.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Susan. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me here.
So I want to make sure that the Fluid Project is spelled P-H-L-U-I-D, Fluid.
That's right.
What's the
why?
No, tell me. Why is that?
I started with the word fluid, just the idea that fluid, like water, is able to move easily between two spaces. And there was a lot of talk about gender fluidity, but I just like the idea of the space between. So fluid is where I started. I put pH on the beginning because pH to me represents balance. Mm-hmm. And this idea of balance is one of the values of fluid and this balance to have. And I really liked the way it looked, because it looked like really strong when it was spelled out, PHLUID. And then I put project at the end because it's a work in progress. It's really, it's an initiative more than, I didn't like the word concept, I like the word project because we're all working together to make something better. So there's a lot in the name.
Yeah, that's great. And it's, like you say, it's also, it looks good, right? The double P's look good.
Yeah, I wanted it to look like linear, almost like it could just keep going and going.
Sure, sure.
I didn't have an end.
So where did the Fluid Project come from?
Boy, that's,
yeah, we've got 20 minutes.
I'll tell you the story. Just, I decided to, at a certain point, truth be known, I went to my first Burning Man. And there's a saying where they said, don't quit your job after your first Burning Man. And I came back and I, gave a couple months notice. I loved what I was doing, but it was time for a change. And this idea of Burning Man was where you just this self-expression and this idea that, you could create a new construct and everyone adapts very quickly. And it was really fun to watch people just be curious and explore and loving and humane and giving. And it just was like, wow, there's something there. I don't know what it was, but I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something more altruistic with my life, at a point in my mid-50s, just wanted to do something. So I put on a backpack and I started traveling around the world. And I made it through Central America and South America and India and Nepal and Tibet. And on that journey, the Fluid Project was born. This idea that I could take my profession, which is retail, my passion, which is social justice, especially around LGBTQ youth, merge it together and to create something that was unique and special and spoke to who I was as a person. And to be honest, I wrote that down on April 14, 2017, and I opened March 1st of 2018. I literally created a store in 10 months time. It's pretty incredible.
Great. Move fast, take chances. I mean, that's how you see if something works, right?
Absolutely. And it was in a sense a big experiment, a big laboratory, something to take a concept that was, as I told people, I was opening a gender-free store. They couldn't really get their head around what does that look like. And to curate it and to create it, it really took something like a concept and made it tangible. People would walk in, they go, I get it now. they literally would get it after walking in.
Can you break down what that means? What does gender-free mean? What does gender-neutral mean for apparel? I mean, I can wear a pair of pants and my husband can wear a pair of pants. I mean, doesn't that make pants gender neutral?
Everything's gender neutral. You know, it's us as society that dictates whether something's masculine or feminine, you know, which is really kind of arbitrary. And it's different by where you are in the world. You know, if you wear, you can wear a skirt in India as a man, and it's totally normal and acceptable. And, you know, kurta and all these different pieces. And it just depends which country you're in. Or so yeah, it's fabric. It's like, you know, who...
Right. It's fabric and shapes.
Exactly, right. Like, if it makes you feel good, wear it, you know? Who, like, why should society dictate, you know, sure, what works and what doesn't work for each person?
How does that work with color? Because we ascribe colors to gender.
Oh, right. Let's get talk about that for a second. I did a TEDx, one of probably the least seen TEDx's in TEDx history, but it's available on my website and Flu's website. It's the history of fashion, past, present, and future. And I spent some time digging into pink and blue and where that came from. And it was not gendered until the 50s. You know, it was actually pastels were done for babies, came from French clothing, which was done by social aristocracy. And it wasn't brought over here as babies just wore white until pastels came over from Europe in the early 1900s. And in the 50s, they still wasn't pink boy or blue and pink or blue. It wasn't until Mimi Eisenhower wore a pink dress during the inauguration that pink became girls, synonymous with girls. And there was also this challenge of women were in the workforce after World War II. And they, the Ike and Mamie and the rest of, I guess, the politicians wanted women out of the workforce back home to make room for the men to get their jobs. Well, the women were making 33 cents to the dollar what men were making, but they wanted women out of the workforce, and pink became like a marketing color to girls. And it really became exaggerated in the 80s when prenatal testing started to happen. You could find out the sex of your child. So now you could find out the sex. So now all these baby showers became ultra gendered.
Oh, interesting.
And then marketers saw they could actually sell more and more. The more they gendered things, the more they sold. And here we are today looking at the results of that.
That's so interesting. So it sounds like, I mean, it almost sounds like it comes down to just, you know, merchandising and marketing. It's the same product. The products haven't necessarily changed. It's how you are selling them and who you are selling them to.
Right. And a lot of it is, you're right, the product is the product, and there is some work that goes into fit to get the fit right, to be as universal as possible. Right. But it's also then putting nail polish out and eyeshadow and saying, that's gender free. not telling anybody where they can shop or not shop. I think at least when you're a little older, you have, you know, more sense of purpose and understanding of who you are, that you're going to have that courage to go to another department, even though the salesperson says, I'm sorry, sir, this is the ladies department, the men's department. And they think they're doing a nice job. They think they're helping you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they think, and I always try to think it comes from, you know, positive intent, but mm-hmm. You know, more and more now, Gen Z, 86% of Gen Zers shop across gender lines. They're not stuck into this idea of what we see as male and female. And to be honest, I think it really becomes problematic in the kids department. I went to a retailer the other day. I was doing a project for, and to be honest, you know, the language that was used for girls and boys is problematic. The girls department read, "Follow your dreams, smile, stay happy, be you. Love is
no, it did not.
Yes, be cool, be kind." And the boys department was, "Legend, you are epic, future hero, make today count, worldwide vision, dude." And I thought, my God, wow. What are we doing to children?
Wow. Like, and you know, that speaks to the importance of having diverse teams, because, you know, we've always done it that way. What's wrong with that? And so it's so important to have that range of voices on your team so that someone can say, no, we need to address that.
Right. Put legend in the girls department and put, you know, be kind, stay
and
happy.
Put a smile in the boys department, please.
Exactly.
Interesting. I do see, and I can't help but wonder how you've lit the spark, but retailers like Target are making some changes in the children's department. Mm-hmm. Retailers like Sephora are trying to make it easier for folks to feel comfortable regardless of who they or how they identify.
Those are two great retailers, two of which I'm working with at the Fluid Project. We launched our gender-free fragrance at Sephora this year. They've been incredibly supportive, most popular scent, one for most innovative. And it's gender-neutral scents, and they're really supporting us as a minority-owned business. We're working on trying to get navigation where there's male, female, and all gender under the navigation. So that's a project we're working on together this year. And Target started off by degendering their toy aisles. They actually done it by category instead of gender. And they're working in kids, and I'm working with them to do something special in the kids department because they're always a leader. They're the first to do trans-inclusive restrooms and fitting rooms, and they put pronouns now on their employee badges if they want. They're really a super progressive company. It's really a lot of fun to work with them.
I love that they started in toys because, really, trying to tell kids what they can play with, forget about it.
No. And by the way, like parents, like I read just a statistic, 70% of parents want to see toys not being gendered. Like just a toy is a toy, you know, play with it, whoever you want to play with it. But marketers are the ones who are gendering it and telling kids what they can play with and not play with. And it really does. We should be allowing boys to carry dolls and learn how to be empathetic and, you know, nurturing. And we should have the opportunity, if they want, to teach girls how to be courageous and adventurous and all these things. And I just think, not to go into a total tangent, but I got a phone call from a mother in California. And she had an 8-year-old girl at the time. And the 8-year-old daughter, who's 9 now, went to the kids department because she was studying dinosaurs and wanted a dinosaur t-shirt. Couldn't find the dinosaur t-shirt. She goes, "Mom, I bet there's dinosaur t-shirts in the boys department." Sure enough, there are 3 dinosaur t-shirts in the boys department. She says, "Why should there be boys or girls? Why can't it just be kids department?" And so this 8-year-old drafted a law or a bill. The bill was proposed and asked for a co-signer. And she goes, "Mom, you should call the Fluid Project. They would know exactly what to do." So the 8-year-old told her mom, "I helped co-write the bill. We submitted it. It got passed through the assembly. And now it's on its way toward the governor that every department store that sells kids will have a gender neutral section in toys and apparel."
And that was in California, right?
In California, that's right.
That's
happening now. So it has to get past the governor, but
sure.
But it feels like it's happening, whether you want to see it happen or not.
Well, it sounds like it, man, that really just describes to your mission. It, you know, from my understanding, the Fluid Project really is more than this apparel accessories brand. It's trying to be this community gathering place and kind of a force. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit to that role that you are trying to play.
Yeah, I like to think of the Fluid Project as the intersection of retail, fashion, and activism, and education, and community. Mm-hmm. And this is where we intersect. And this is where we show up and we have conversations. We try to, you know, take away shame and stigma around, you know, ideals. And, you know, this next month, we're having a conversation around, and a lot of it is the intersection of being queer and something. And so we're talking a lot about Asian and Island Pacificers and all the stuff that's happening from our perspective. And we're also talking about next month, mental health and what's happened during COVID and how people can take care of themselves. So we'd love to have conversations, pull the community together, represent people who have been largely underrepresented and live in the margins. And so when it comes to representation on our feed and through our campaigns is all inclusive of gender and race and body size and ability, and really just ensuring that there's full representation and that everyone is welcomed in this brand, regardless of who you are, what you believe in. There's a space for you here.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Gen Z earlier, and it feels like Gen Z is tipping the scales.
They are a force. I have to tell you, Gen Z is, you know, it would be one thing if I was just doing this by myself, but to be honest, I'm being lifted and carried and pushed by Gen Z, who I call them Gen We, because they care about themselves, of course, but they care about their friends and they care about, you know, human rights, social rights. They care about the environment. They care so, and they have so much information, and they are a third of the world's population. So they are literally taking over the world, and they're being put into a position now where they don't just have money, but they also influence their parents' spending, and they're a force. But they're a force, and I think so much good, because with all this access, they are holding companies accountable and making. So that's why I think Fluid is really a brand built for the future, built for reflecting and representing an entire generation.
So it's built for the future. What does that future look like? You all had a store that opened, you said, in
2018,
right?
The store was open for 2 years. I self-funded the whole business. I really haven't ever found anyone courageous or brave enough to invest in the Fluid project. But that's okay. It's never easy to be first, but it certainly is satisfying. And it's been an interesting and exciting journey. And this year, after closing the store, thank goodness, I was focusing on, I was going to do global pop-ups, but certainly that changed. So, right. You know, this coming year, really focused on wholesale. Mm-hmm. And Fluid will be in about 5,000 stores this year, which is remarkable.
Is that like local places or I mean, are you going to be around any big names or?
Yeah, definitely big names. Target, Zumiez, Hot Topic. Nice. Let's see, Nordstrom. We're creating a fully sustainable, upcycled collection of apparel accessories for Nordstrom. And then we'll spread out the wholesale. We'll be in Saks Off Fifth, doing a really cool campaign for Pride. Many really incredible retailers who have reached out to try to, you know, be part of this inclusive brand. Yeah.
You're still doing things directly with your community. It's not just because, you know, when you still wholesale, okay, well then there's the middleman between you and the customer.
Yeah, no, we still have our direct to consumer business, which is our website, which is really essentially a retail space and a community space. It's really about, you know, really embracing the community and their voices. The other part is our education platform. So we launched Get Fluid this year. Mm-hmm. And it's gender expansive training. We're training companies how to prepare for this workforce. Excellent. And so we go in and do training sessions, workshops. We help with policy and language to create affirming spaces for both transgender and non-binary folks. And I have a whole team of trainers who are of trans experience. Mm-hmm. Who bring so much to the conversation. And I'm so proud of them. And we're working with really big companies, retailers, and also food and beverage and health and financial services. So it's really exciting, that part of the business as well.
Rob, what does that training look like? Is it multi-day? Is it a full day of different people?
Yeah, it just depends. You know, every you know, being on an inclusive journey, everyone's at a different place. So it depends. We meet the people where they are. And so it could be just an hour training and introduction. It could be, for some companies, it's getting groups of people together, employee resource groups, human resources, and doing 30-person workshops for 3 hours. Some of it's just sitting down with folks and rewriting, looking at their policy and language and rewriting it with them, changing words. A word can make all the difference, you know, in creating an affirming workspace. So yeah, so it's not a one size fits all, but we're getting some very, very big clients right now. It's pretty incredible, the spectrum of folks who are getting involved in this.
I can't imagine how that energizes you, because did anything like that ever exist?
No, nothing like it ever exists. And if you asked me, you know, 2 years ago, if I'd be doing this, I thought I was running a store, like, you know, and then I didn't realize the momentum this movement had and how I was able to, and I didn't want to be an educator. I just would speak at conferences and in boardrooms, and people were like, we need to know more about this. And so I looked around to see who was doing it. Nobody's doing it. So I launched my own training platform, and it's really exciting. I'm an okay trainer. I prefer to sit there and listen to my trainers, and I learn and get inspired every time I hear them speak. So I'm super lucky to be able to get exposed to that. And people are so grateful after we're done training. You know, we just did Primark this morning. You know, once we train them, their minds are open, and they're already starting to think about what they can do and how they can change. But when I start to work with a company and work with a brand, I like to start with education first. You want to know first why you're doing it, who you're doing it for, before you start to jump in. And some people just jump into marketing campaigns, and that doesn't work at all. You have to really get into the education part first and understanding before jumping into external facing.
Well, that's interesting, because you mentioned a few different retailers that you're starting on this project with, you're partnering with. And I wondered, as you said that, like, well, I hope he held hands with them on marketing, was sort of what was running through my head.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Most of them have really been embracing the education platform. I think a really good partner I'm going to call out right now is Saks OFF 5TH. We're doing a campaign with them for Pride, and they're donating 100% of their sales, 100% of our product towards the Fluid Foundation. And the Fluid Foundation is a 501c3 that I set up, and the Fluid Foundation supports the most vulnerable and marginalized of our community. It's the trans women of color and queer homeless youth. And so we can take money and we go into smaller organizations and make a huge impact. We even GoFundMes to help individuals who might be going through sex reassignment surgery, and really just getting into like the communities and the people and making a difference. So we're doing a campaign with them, which is going to be great. But we're also doing education and training, and you know, that's the same thing with Nordstrom. And it's really Target. It's really wonderful to work with partners who bring you on the entire journey, because the result is going to be super positive. It's when you get out of it, you have a full 360-degree campaign that is inside, internal and external, and is incredibly authentic and intentional.
And you say that you give them that you know, look at it. I mean, you know, that experience of being a queer homeless kid is a heartbreaking one. There are ways to make sure people understand that. And I mean, are you bringing, you know, these companies through that journey? And like, are you really just like, let me show you, you know, let me introduce you to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I'll do panels, and I'll invite the community to join me. Many of the panelists, many of my panelists are trainers who have grown up through the system of oppression, mm-hmm. and marginalization, and they've, you know, overcome it. And now they're speaking of their experience, both professionally and personally. They bring their all to the conversation. So I like to speak, but I also like to bring members of the community with me, because it really validates and brings things home.
Sure.
I'm speaking just as a, you know, for anyone who's interested in listening to this, I'm donating 100% of my speaking honorariums to the Fluid Foundation this June. Mm-hmm. My goal is to raise $100,000 to put back into the community. So far, I'm about $75,000. So people can reach out to me directly, and I'll speak to their organization during Pride and talk about some of the conversation around gender identity and gender expression, and educate folks and raise money for communities really in need. Yeah.
Wow. I could talk to you about this for another hours and hours and hours, and I would love to have the opportunity to do so again. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob.
Thank you. I appreciate the time and the interest. And yeah, you know, I'm here to support you. Y'all have supported the Fluid Project since day one. I remember getting up and speaking at the big show, and the Fluid store was on the tour, and so many people from around the world visited that store because of that. Yes. And which turned into speaking engagements around the world and partnerships. And a lot of this success was launched because of you. So thank you so much.
That's really wonderful to hear. I remember we wrote about y'all in Stores Magazine right when you opened, and I'm so excited to do it then.
I'm not around anymore, but you are, Rob.
Yeah.
Go, Rob.
I appreciate it. I would like to take credit for this, but it's so much of the credit goes to all the people that supported this from the beginning. This, you know, crazy guy with a harebrained idea that thinks that he could change the world, and the amount of support, the amount of encouragement has been unbelievable. And I'm so grateful, and so grateful to everyone who's on this journey with me and with us.
Okay, well, we have a fun way to end the show. That this has just been so fun, but we have one more fun thing to do. It's a little segment we call Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
All right, Susan, would you like to kick things off?
Sure. What was your very first job?
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. My brother woke me up Sunday morning and said, "Do you want to make some money?" And I went to, every Sunday morning, would clean up after the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I thought you performed in it. I was like, you get paid to do that?
I was 14. I eventually would perform on the stage at the Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was old enough, yes.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
I like to think myself, I wish I could be Superman. I would literally like put on a cape and fly all over the world and save every life that I could. That's That would be my superpower.
Sounds like you're doing it a little bit.
Trying to.
What's your favorite food?
Either a hamburger or pizza or my mom's lasagna. It's a three-way tie. Yeah.
I mean, all strong contenders, really.
Right. And sometimes you bring breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
They're all basically the same thing. It's meat and cheese and carbohydrates. So
correct. Yeah. Yeah.
The three major food groups.
The three major food groups. Essential. The essentials.
What's the best thing you've read, watched, or listened to lately?
Oh, what a great question. Of late, I like Disclosure. I'm just going to say that. It's a movie about the transgender experience through media. I think it's really interesting. I watched it three times.
Oh, okay.
And pick up something new. I mean, just from a Netflix binging show, I love Ted Lasso. I thought it was super hysterical.
Nice.
And when you get that opportunity, where's your first vacation spot?
Well, you know I'm going back to Burning Man this year. I mean, I still don't know if it's a vacation or not because it's exhausting. But I'm definitely going back to Burning Man. That said, I can't wait to go back to Mykonos and the Greek islands, you know, when it's time. But yeah, then, you know, my husband and I go to East Hampton every weekend and I have a home there. And it's just fun. Just three of us, me, my husband and our dog. And that's like, that to me, that's heaven.
Well, Rob, where can people go to learn more about the Fluid Project?
Well, I'm glad you asked. You can go to thefluidproject.com, which is our website. You can certainly reach out to me on LinkedIn. I will respond to everyone. And if you want to hit up info@thefluidproject.com, I read emails every day. Hit me up on Twitter. And my Instagram account is @RobGarrettSmith. G-A-R-R-E-T-T Smith, or @TheFluidProject. Yeah, there's so many ways. I think there's 17 ways to get a hold of me. I counted one morning.
Good Lord. You do turn off sometimes, right? It's very important to take care of yourself.
Well, I know. It's what it takes hours to like go to WhatsApp, to like LinkedIn. Like, there's so many different ways to reach out to somebody. It's hysterical.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rob. This has been fantastic. And thank you, Susan, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed this so much, Rob. Thank you.
Y'all are great.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks for listening.